planet to live righteously. It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's, Let's look at the number.
It's April.
We're going to do articles of news. No, but see, Kyle, I can tell you don't listen. We're not doing articles of news without numbers now. Every episode has a number. And I've decided another thing since last we chatted, people in the Cultural Hall. I'm going to publish an episode now every Thursday and every Monday. And it may be that you get a couple of interviews back to back, or it may be a news and then an interview. But now, now that things have settled, now that as we sit here in the home studio, which I'm pretty sure is what I'm going to call it, we will get two episodes a week. One will publish Monday. One will publish on Thursday. And I'm trying to get the episode number for this. We should just know this coming in, right?
Four. It's,
three, episode number one. This is our first ever episode.
Well, if we just started counting it as numbers, then maybe...
It's episode 316 is what we'll call this one. It's right. Brother Kyle, and visiting us from parts unknown. His phone says Louisiana, but we're going to get to know him a little bit. It's Robert. Robert Casey, thanks for being here, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Your phone says Louisiana. Where are you from?
It should say North Carolina. Maybe I gave you the wrong area code then.
It said Louisiana.
Okay, that's why we didn't connect.
Oh.
Yeah, the phone number's from Greensboro, North Carolina, but I now live in Lakeland, Florida.
Okay.
Can't you hear the accent?
Yeah. Yeah, that Lakeland, that very distinct Lakelandian accent. How long have you listened to the Cultural Hall for, Robert?
A lot of years. Not quite since the beginning, but I don't think it was too much after that.
How did you find it? Do you remember?
Yeah, I saw some posts on Facebook that other people were reposting some things that the Cultural Hall Facebook page had posted, and I started looking into it, and then I found out that it was a show available in podcast form.
Did you notice that?
Uh-huh. and I really like podcasts, so I added it to my podcast lineup, and I've been listening ever since.
That's awesome. Yeah, back in the day, people used to share our stuff and tell people about the Cultural Hall. They don't do that as much anymore. I'm hoping that that's just because I've been inconsistent. So let me make, again, that recommitment to consistency. And then, Robert, you also do some other stuff for the Cultural Hall as well. You do some stuff with episodes.
Yeah, we've done some notes for some of the interview episodes.
So if you guys are appreciative when those notes are a little bit fuller, they're a little bit more written out, you can... have Robert to thank for what he does with that. He'll go through as soon as the episode is published, and he will be like, here are some things that I observed. Robert's part of the Patreon group for the Cultural Hall. Mention that real quick. Patreon.com/TheCulturalHall. He'll post things in there that he finds to be curious. And I always like the ones that you post where it's like, okay, so that's what you got away from this episode? You know, I've been to that town that story was from, and then there's this whole diatribe about a town, and we're like, I guess that had to do with what we talked about.
I make weird connections sometimes.
Listen, it's not weird. Not weird. just different. So thank you for being here. You're here in the state of Utah doing what?
My son graduated from BYU yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you see, college, Brother Kyle, is this thing that you did after you dropped
BYU
out
of high school.
After you drop out of high school, let's make this apply to you.
Hey, let's get it clear. I dropped out of college.
Yeah,
I did not drop out of high school.
You did make it all the way through high school. Really?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you did drop out of high school.
Did you really?
I really did. I thought you GED'd and got your way out.
No, that was all of my friends. I actually graduated with a good GPA.
Good for you.
And then in college, I got all enamored with, you know, snowboarding.
And so I quit. And not school.
Right.
How far did you make it?
I don't even know. I went to college for a couple years.
Yeah.
Half-heartedly.
At best. And then you realized, I'm paying for this. This money could go somewhere else.
Yep.
Yep.
Season pass. So that...
Yeah. I was going to ask you, probably the mission, but I know about you, so it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Oh, gosh.
We'll get you on
My
that.
Parents made up for it.
Yeah. They're doing it for
My
you.
My family is made up from... Look, let's take a family of 10 people.
Okay.
How many of
is
those
that
people?
Your family?
No.
Okay.
Well, let's just take 10 people,
okay.
LDS people. How many of that should go on a mission? Well, 5 men, 5 women.
All of them in some way.
No.
Yeah. In some way. A mission, a purpose.
Well, then my argument's not going to work.
Well, no, so but it will work because your dad served a mission, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So now
Did your mom serve a mission?
Nope.
Okay.
She's a convert.
Okay. So she needed to serve for herself, but when they served again... Your dad took on some of your mission penance,
okay,
if you will. Do you have any other siblings that didn't serve missions?
Nope, they all went. Even okay. My sister.
Okay, okay. So he's making up strictly for you right now. How long did he serve for?
I guess so.
He served 6 months?
6 months, and that's all you wanted out of me. You wanted 6 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, to really make up for you, he's got to go on a couple more.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right.
I'll just make sure that he doesn't let any family live in the house. That continues to be a problem.
Don't open up that. It's
please?
Not even done yet.
They might be listening.
No, they're not listening. No. My family doesn't listen to this show.
Why? Because it's a thing you're involved in. That's
yes,
right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like trying to put. I try and like lay it out. It's like this is kind of like a church thing. This is like my calling in church since I don't really have one.
Sure.
They're like, oh, that's cute.
What's new with you? Anything, Brother Kyle?
No. This Sunday is my parents' missionary homecoming.
Cool. They,
where they'll talk in church. I'm going to go to that.
Are all the kids singing?
No, we're not. We're not going to sing.
Will your mom perform? She's performance oriented.
No, because I don't know if they're going to have, you know, anymore with the mission stuff. They don't have you do they have it like a regular church meeting. It's just that they have the missionary talk.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do anything else. So no, they're not. There might be a musical number. Maybe somebody will play the cello.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, are we to the point we can't have guitars yet? Right? Not really. Not like sanctioned guitars.
Mm-mm.
Do you know, Robert?
I have no clue.
You ever seen a guitar in church?
I don't think that I have, acoustic or electric.
Yeah.
I have seen acoustic.
Yeah.
And
I don't think there's like a hard, fast no guitars, but I know right. It's kind of out of the realm. I remember one time when I was growing up, there was a trumpet and I was like, that's awesome. It was around Christmas time, so I think it was sort of grandfathered in.
That's what ours was with the guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, I think trumpet's okay. Saxophone? Uh-uh.
Yeah, no.
No.
No way. You mean the devil's instrument?
The devil's wind instrument? Yeah. Yes.
The devil's reeded. I will say this, because I don't think I've ever shared this before. When I served my religiously affiliated vacation in Cleveland, there was a guy who insisted that we call him Brother Scott. And his first name was Scott. He was a convert. And he brought his guitar everywhere. It was the strap over his back. He was that guy.
Yeah.
He was a cool guy. He'd feed us. He didn't have very much, right? I think that his particular instance, he either kind of lived off the state or welfare or church welfare or whatever.
Typically, if you have a guitar that's strung over your back most of the time, you're probably going to be on welfare or homeless.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the old joke. Do you know the difference between a large pizza and a guitar player?
No.
I don't.
The large pizza can feed a family of four.
And that's why Robert's here today. But this guy, he whenever he would meet the new missionaries, he would be like, "What's your name?" So let's act this out, and I'll show you what to do. What's your name?
Right. My name's Kyle.
No, so you'd be.
I'm gonna
Elder,
be Scott.
No, you'd be Elder Brown.
Okay, I'm Elder Brown.
All right, I wrote you a song. Elder Brown.
Oh yeah.
Coming to town. Glad to have you around, Elder Brown. And then he would strum through the
right, one strum.
Yeah, just one. Right. And that was it. Cool, brother. Cool, brother. And I remember one time he got up and he bore his testimony in church, and he's like, he did the same thing, the one strum. Strum. Jesus came to me.
Really?
And everyone's like, oh my gosh, what is going on right now? Strum again. I know it wasn't a dream. Silence. Strum. Jesus saved my life. Now, here's the deal. You know, for whatever, and you probably know this, you said North Carolina, right?
Right.
Right. And then in Florida as well, a lot of times in some of these smaller congregations, and I think this should be throughout the church, but you're really appreciative of anyone who will be there, who will share their testimony. That's sort of a different scenario than Utah, unfortunately, but we're just like, yeah, we're on board with this guy. And then the last line of his song is like, so the setup is, Jesus saved my life, strum. He saved me from a butcher's knife. And we're like, I'm pretty sure that that's just for rhyming's sake. You know, thinking in our mind, we're like, okay, do we have anyone here that doesn't know that this isn't how this normally is, whatever. And then he's just like, Jesus, strum. And then he just sits there with his eyes closed at the pulpit during Fast and Testimony Sunday. And is like he's moving a little, so it's not like
he's not
like,
done.
Yeah, and then he opens his eyes and he's like,
thank you.
Amen. And then he goes and sits down. He was great. It's, you know, here I am 20 years later talking about it. It's one of the many very precious experiences from my mission. But I just love that whenever I think of guitars in church. It's Brother Scott. Can I play a song for you? Brother Scott. So, Robert, you're here how long? For how long?
I'm going home tomorrow. Got here Wednesday night and going home tomorrow. So a short trip, but it's nice. We got to do all the graduation stuff yesterday and getting to spend a little time with my son and his lovely wife, who they've been married a year and a half. And the only time I've spent with them in person is the day they got married.
Really?
Yeah. Even though, you know, we've talked and done video chat and everything. Sure. But not much time in person because we live a little bit away from each other.
Are they planning on moving back towards like Florida or East Coast at all?
Not sure yet. She has one more year of school, and okay, then they'll decide from there.
What did he decide to study?
He majored in information technology.
Okay.
And he already has a great job, which tells me that I chose the wrong field to major in. So, computer technology is the way to go, young people.
What do you do?
I work in food safety for a grocery chain that's based in Florida.
Cool.
And I've been in food safety in one way or another all of my career.
Is food safety like best if used by stamps, that kind of stuff?
A little bit.
Okay.
That's really getting into the quality area. I started my career as a county health inspector, actually, looking at, you know, trying to prevent foodborne illnesses like salmonella and okay, listeria, things like that. And just have stayed with that and worked in the world of food regulation at retail.
Oh, wow. Let me ask you, being at one point a county health inspector,
uh-huh,
do you just not want to eat anywhere ever except for the things that you can control within your own home?
No, because, I've traveled a lot during my career.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to eat out in restaurants. So you learn just to kind of look at things and like, you learn to notice the inspection report when you walk in and see if there are any, you know, really bad things on there, temperature violations, for example.
Uh-huh.
Or you learn to look at you go to the restroom and check it out, because there's a saying in the business that the restroom is the part they let you see.
Uh-huh.
So if that's bad, how's the part they don't let you see? So you look at things like that, but also it's funny when food safety people, sometimes when we get together, you know, it'll be like somebody will be, I need to go hit the restroom. And on the way back, they'll kind of, you know, sneak peek at the kitchen door or something to, you know, look and see what's going on. So, you know, in a lot of places now, you can see some of what's going on in the kitchen. I do stick a lot to larger chain restaurants, mm-hmm, but, you know, if somebody's recommending a good local place, I do like to try that.
Do you search it out online?
Yeah, I do look at reviews and stuff. Yeah, but I'll, you know, you just kind of check it out when you get there and see what's going on. I mean, there's some older facilities that may not look like much, but they keep clean on the inside,
yeah,
and the food's good. So you got to look and see. It's really hard to, you know, judge a book by its cover, just what you see on the outside of a facility. So go in and have a look around.
Scenario for you. Have you ever been out to a restaurant? You're like, oh, we're going to go to Lou's or whatever the name of the place is. And you're like, I've heard it's great. The reviews online are great. And then you get there and either health inspection or condition of the bathroom, you've been like, not going to stay at Lou's.
Yes, that has happened. Funny story related to that. My brother works in pest control.
Okay.
And
Oh, no.
So he can tell when cockroaches are present, there's a smell. And he and his wife, at the time, she was a bank manager or something. They were at her company dinner, and he wasn't really eating, and he could. And his wife was, why aren't you eating? Why aren't you? No big deal, you know. On the way home, he tells her, well, I could smell the roaches. The place was infested. She got mad at him, of course. And then, so since then, they developed a code word. So no matter what, no matter what they are, if it's a bare wooden table and he smells cockroaches, he says, wow, this is a nice tablecloth. And that's the code word. So that's how they know
not
to eat there.
And the people with you guys at the table. There's not even a tablecloth
here. Yeah. Like,
he's going crazy.
And he's not eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It must be a religious thing. That's how you couch it. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't eat cockroach-ridden food.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that I had to share, I had a pretty cool opportunity just a few minutes ago, actually. I met someone cooler than Brother Kyle.
Debatable.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Jared Ward. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was going to talk about him today, but he is cool.
Cooler than you.
He is way cooler than me.
He is. I'll save your news portion of it, but he'll be an upcoming episode of the Cultural Hall.
Oh, really?
He
oh,
is a marathon runner and a past Olympian. He competed in 2016, and he'll also be, knock on wood, if he qualifies, which I think he should.
He will.
We'll talk about that within the news stories, 2020 in Tokyo marathon runner. And you know the coolest part is he knows Doug Padilla. Do you know who Doug Padilla is?
I don't know who Doug Padilla is.
That's Janae's father, who is an Olympic. And I didn't know this, and we need to get Doug into the Cultural Hall. We kind of talk about this every now and then. But Janae's dad, I think she's told us about how he was in the Olympics, but he holds like 7 United States records in various distances.
Wow, I didn't know. Wow.
Still, as I understand it. Or maybe set them at the... doesn't matter. Faster than I'll ever run ever. So pay the respect to the man, Doug Padilla. And if for no other reason, because he gave us Janaymanite.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and do actual articles of news.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hey, this is Jake the Computer Boy. Whoops, I meant Computer Guy from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. You haven't heard me on the radio doing commercials in a long time because I've been learning all the ins and outs of PC Laptops, the company my dad, Dan the Laptop Man, started 21 years ago. I've been working at our corporate headquarters designing and building new computers for you. I design and hand build the new PC Laptops S1 desktop, and it's just $7.99 with a lifetime warranty. Each one is built to perfection, blazing fast and beautiful, and backed forever with a rock solid lifetime warranty. And it's only $7.99.
Thanks, Jake. I love you, son. Dan the Laptop Man here. To make it impossible to resist, we're doing 12-month special financing on any PC Laptops desktop or laptop computer. Have I lost my mind? Call us at 1-877-596-7283 for details or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com, where we love you!
I want to take a quick second and talk to you about Best DJ in Utah now in its second year. Last year, I went to Washington, to Roche Harbor, and did a gorgeous wedding. This year, I'm slated to go to Moab, to go to Denver to do weddings. And guys, it couldn't be going any better. Thanks, in large part, to folks like yourself, people who are listening to this and say, you know what, I need a wedding or a mobile DJ for something, and then reach out to me. You can go to bestdjinutah.com. You can find me on all of the social medias at Richie T. Stedman, or you can certainly just send me an email, Richie, R-I-C-H-I-E-T, as in tough guy, Stedman, S-T-E-A-D-M-A-N, @gmail.com. I would love to see what I could do to make your event that much better. Whether it's a party or the biggest day of your life, you need the best DJ in Utah. And like I said, it doesn't have to be in Utah, it can just be the best DJ in Utah. I don't know. Now we start to get into like the technical things. It's bestdjinutah.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. 1 in 5 children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news. You
can't lose articles of news. I'm doing that because...
You are not Peter.
Nobody does it. Because, I know I'm not Peter.
Because no one sings along anymore?
Yeah.
Oh, you're just filling in?
Yeah.
Who wants to do the first news story? You want to take it?
Want me to?
Yeah, let's go with
Jared Ward. Talking about Jared Ward. So let me put on my readers.
Your peeps? Are they called readers? No, what's the other word for them?
That's what we call them in my day.
You put them down on the nose. Your peepers? No, maybe that's jeepers. No, that's creepers. Where'd you get them peepers? Go ahead.
All right. When Latter-day Saint distant runner Jared Ward was running a few miles here or there to keep fit during his mission, he surely had no clue that one day he would hold the lead at the Boston Marathon. So he's run the Boston Marathon before, but this last one, as you mentioned, he's done the Olympics before. If you've watched the Boston Marathon, as it begins, a bunch of Yoo-hoo locals get out and they run at the front for about half a mile till they realize there's no way I can keep this pace, and they fall away.
Is that really?
Yeah. Yeah, at the first of any of these big televised races, you know, some local guys that do run and they'll run it, but they get out front for a while and they're like, oh, crap. 30 seconds later, they're gone. Long
for the
gone.
First 7 seconds of the Boston Marathon, I held the lead.
So it whittled down, if you watch it, to, I don't know, maybe a dozen runners.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are from, where's the country where they all...
Well, there's East Africa. There's a lot of Ghana, Ivory Coast.
Yes.
But they call it the East African contingent.
Yes.
Ethiopia.
Which is out of that, maybe 12 runners is about 11 and a half of them. And then there's Jared Ward, who sticks out like a white thumb.
Yeah.
Because he does not look in place. I mean, he looks fit in that, but he really, when you picture a distance runner...
And especially a fast distance runner.
Now, these guys, if you're a runner, you maybe know how fast you run if you're running 10K or maybe half a marathon, which gets harder, or a marathon. When you did your marathon, what did you run it in?
3:45:05.
And what's that pace?
Let's see. Because 4:20 is 10-minute miles, so it's like... 9-minute miles?
Yeah, which is...
A little less than 9-minute miles.
Which is a respectable time.
Yeah.
Really.
That's 26.2 miles of 9-minute miles.
Yeah, which as a runner, I can tell you isn't easy. Well, he was in this lead group with his mustache. He looks great.
Yeah.
But he was in this lead group through the race. Fell off at the end. His finishing time was 2:09:25. 2:09.
Yeah. Which... If you're doing math, it's like 26 miles of 5-minute or sub-5-minute miles.
Yeah, I can sprint for a 5-minute mile briefly. We're talking 100 meters. Go out and try it.
Even in a Santa costume at the front of the Boston Marathon, and then you drop off.
So anyway, he placed 8th in that race and is going to try out. And like you said, he'll probably make it for the 2020 Summer Olympics. He was in the 2016, but he's a great runner. I'm excited that you're going to have him in here. Was a full-time missionary. I did not see where here.
And the other thing is he's a statistics teacher at BYU.
Yeah. He still teaches at BYU. He's a Kaysville native, so up in my neck of the woods. Davis High graduate. Which is my high school.
Go Darts.
<It's>
the stupidest mascot.
Why?
What is it?
It's a dart.
Like a lawn dart?
Well, yeah, like a dart with a sharp pointy end and things on the end to make it go straight, feathers and flowers.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Are you the dart? Oh.
Well, yeah. What's a better mascot?
Anything. Anything is
how about
a better mascot.
How about the Farmington High School Phoenixes?
Yeah, better.
Sounds like they say penis.
Okay, all right. That's fair, but it's still a better mascot.
Darts is great.
My high school
it's
was
unoffensive.
Huskies.
Well, that's offensive.
Why is that?
Because you're stealing that from dogs. That belongs to the canine world.
And you know why no one's getting upset about darts? Because nobody wants it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not offensive to anybody.
Neutral, inoffensive, nobody cares mascot. Perfect.
Why don't you tell Jared Ward
that
darts is a dumb mascot?
I'll tell him and then I'll run away. You can't catch. Oh. He caught me. You know the story behind the mustache. I asked him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Should I tell you here or should I wait till the episode?
Wait for the episode.
I'll wait for the episode. But look forward to that. If you've always wondered, which I did and I had to ask him, it's a ridiculous mustache that he wears. It's real. I said wears and then I'm like, that doesn't sound right. That he has for races, these big races. And I'll tell you why he continues to do that. So look forward to that in the future. What do you got, Robert? You got stories as well.
Yes, I thought I would share some things about yesterday's BYU graduation.
Okay.
To start with. And
like statistics, is that what we're talking?
Well, no, not any statistics, although I did find out this morning, which I didn't know yesterday, but this was the largest BYU graduating class. So I thought
ever.
That was
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty neat, and it was pretty crowded in the Marriott Center, a lot of graduates there. But, you know, if any of you ever read about so-and-so gave a, you know, this speech at a graduation or whatever, I'm never really into that. So I just thought, oh, this is going to be just some ceremony we have to sit through. But they had two really great speakers yesterday. One, the first one was Arthur Brooks, who they gave an honorary PhD to. He is president of the American Enterprise Institute, and I found out he has a show in podcast form also now. But he spoke about contempt and how it's not anger that's keeping a lot of us apart today. It's contempt and how we have to not have contempt for people who are different from us. And he talked about when he had spoken at BYU before and had been given some BYU paraphernalia, including a briefcase with the BYU logo on it, and how when he used it, he felt kind of obliged to be at a higher standard and mentioned he wouldn't drink coffee and tried to be nicer to people and everything. So that was kind of neat. Then the other speaker was Elder Patrick Kieran, who was a member of the 70. And he, I didn't connect it until I heard him speak yesterday. I didn't look up his name or anything. But he gave a talk at General Conference in April 2016 on refugees that a lot of people remember. He's got a British, kind of a British accent. He's grown up a little bit around the world. But he shared some memories and talked about losing his father at a young age, which got to me because my father passed away when I was 25. So it was really neat to hear him talk. So they both were very good talks yesterday at the commencement. And the ceremony didn't drag on and on. They were both nice and concise, and program moved along, and then we got out of there and started celebrating. So it was a very nice program yesterday.
Where'd you go to eat?
We went last night to Tucano's.
Yeah, yeah, you know what that is, don't you?
Nope.
Meat on a stick. That's what Tucano's is.
Yeah,
that's why I don't.
It's
one
like
of those Brazilian type buffet places.
Oh
yeah.
Man, I miss those.
Have you never been? Oh, because you don't eat meat anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
But you know what? You can still go. I had years ago on a work trip, we went to Fogo de Chão, a Brazilian place in Chicago. My manager at the time was vegetarian. And I said, Michelle, are you going to be able to eat tonight? She said, oh, yeah. Haven't you noticed their salad bar before? And I'm like, oh, yeah. You can really make a meal off of that. So they have lots of offerings there.
We'll go sometime, because if you're not eating meat, it'll be cheap. In fact, I'll pay for it.
Okay.
I always love that too, the big family celebrations that there always has to be food around it. Was the restaurant clean?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they did a good job. Top scores?
I didn't see their score, but I took a look around. Hot food hot, cold food cold. That's one of the big things to look for.
What else? Just since we've gone down that road a little bit. Hot food hot, cold food cold. What else? I mean, you obviously don't want messy things. You see, like, if you actually see roaches or mice, that's a, you know, that's a no-brainer. But is there other stuff that we can, as we go in, if our noses aren't tuned in to the smell of cockroaches, things that we can know or look for?
If you do get a chance to see people in the back or that are working with food, are they washing their hands appropriately? Do they ever use a thermometer to take a food temperature? There's some little things like that, but a lot of it has to do with the food temperatures. Making sure those are right. That's that's a big thing, keeping the food correctly.
Those are good things. And now I'm thinking about every restaurant I've ever gone to.
Yeah.
But if you go through drive-thru, you don't get a peek
in. You don't have to see, yeah.
Just keep that drive-thru clear. I trust it. This was a sort of a tragic story. Celebrated opera soprano Charity Tilleman Dick not only stunned audiences with her awe-inspiring voice, she also motivated thousands to live truer, fuller, more intentional lives. And on April 24th, Tilleman Dick passed away at the age of 35 years old. On her Facebook page, they shared this. This is a quote. "Life is full of death, music full of sorrow. Great artists have always amplified both." And then they go on to say this about Charity. "This morning, life's curtain closed on one of its consummate heroines. Our beloved Charity passed peacefully with her husband, mother, and siblings at her side and sunshine on her face. Our hearts are broken in this moment. The world is dark, but Charity's rays extend far beyond her tragic finale on this earthly stage. Her light continues to illuminate the hearts of thousands, and in that way, Charity is with us always. She is our hero. We love her." And if you go to theculturalhall.com, you can see not only a picture of her, but there's some some links to some music that you can hear her singing. In 2004, she was filling out an application to serve as a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints when she received news that she was diagnosed with a rare condition called idiopathic pulmonary hypertension that caused the arteries that carry blood to her heart to narrow, and so that's what she passed away from. But definitely thoughts, prayers, and love to the Tilleman Dick family with their loss. She's phenomenal, by the way, too, if you've ever heard her sing. It's one of those, you know, when you hear like opera and you hear sopranos and you're like, you know, I think it's probably going to go to that note. Is she going to make that note? There's no way she's going to. And then she hits that note and then sustains that note, and you're like, okay, that is greatness. There's no question. What else you got, Brother Kyle?
Stephen Kerr is a Scot. That means Scottish people. And a conservative parliament member and Latter-day Saint.
Okay, I'm listening now. I thought you were mispronouncing the coach for the Golden State Warriors for a minute, but...
that last characteristic, he says, has been sometimes used against him. My faith has been inappropriately referenced and for political purposes, Kerr writes in The Scotsman, a local paper. He had comments made about him before about Islamic or Roman Catholic beliefs, and that they would immediately have deemed his unacceptable comparatively. Anti-Mormon comments sometimes stem from ignorance, he says, but other instances are the product of blind prejudice. There are also far too many cases when there's a deliberate attempt to misrepresent people of the faith to undermine a person's personal integrity for political purposes, Kerr says. I'm sad to reflect that this has sometimes been my own experience. Such attacks have not only harmed, Kerr says, but also the reputation and standing of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the 20,000 approximately Scottish members in his area. And I did not have the paper there that came from, but it makes me feel bad because that's where my father went on his mission, and my uncle is to Scotland.
So you're aware of how difficult it is for members of the church there.
I do, yeah. And I have kind of an affinity, and because if you do the ancestry DNA thing, I come from a lot of Irish and Scottish background. So I have a thing for Scotland. I always thought it was a cool place.
Like, have you ever been?
No.
Why not?
Because it's outside of the state of Utah. It's more than a 1 hour plane flight.
Because you can't mountain bike in Scotland?
Actually, you can. One of the best mountain bike videos ever is on an island in Scotland.
So why wouldn't you go do that?
Well, it's the best video. It's not the best place to ride. In fact, it's the most difficult. But there was an amazing video made in Scotland that I've watched a lot of times just because I think it's an amazing country. It's a beautiful country. And and I have a thing for Scottish women.
Yeah?
I do. I love voice, the accent. Right? I love a Scottish
Robert,
accent.
Are you with us? Yeah, he's nodding.
Sorry. Yeah, I forget. I'm not used to recording like this. Yes.
You're going to have to vocalize your nod, otherwise I'll speak for you. I thought it was maybe like the missus is going to listen to this and we can't.
I love the Scottish accent. I do know that it's difficult over there, unfortunately.
For members of the church. And
yeah.
I mean, you just think of hundreds and even thousands of years of Catholicism, right?
Yeah.
It's tradition of those that went before. You know, interesting that you speak about the Scottish accent. So one time when I was doing a theater show, we celebrate birthdays, and there was a woman who, she was here visiting Utah from Scotland. I can't remember. It could have very well been a college graduation, something like that, that brought her here. And she's like, it's my birthday, and I'm not even going to try and do the accent. But, like, it was funny to me in that instant how I fell in love with her, right? Now, obviously, it's not real love, but it really was like a ping to my heart. I was like,
yeah.
And I said out loud, and this is sort of embarrassing because it's a crowd of 300 people. I'm like, can you say some more things? And she's like, oh, what would you like me to say? And I was like, that's fine. That's perfect. What you're doing right there.
I have two bands that I love. And honestly, half of it comes from the fact that their singer is a Scottish woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the Scottish voice.
Will you make sure that you send me not only that story, but also the link to the video that you like to watch so people can check it out?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. You can get that at theculturalhall.com. What do you got, Robert?
I have a story about LDS charities eliminating maternal and neonatal tetanus in the African country of Chad.
Cool.
I had never even heard of maternal and neonatal tetanus. And this story was interesting to me since I started my career in public health. And I'm a big believer in vaccines and that they really help extend our lifespan overall. And I like a lot of the work that the church does in some of these developing countries, right, helping with basic needs like clean water, mm-hmm, and other things that are just so basic that we take for granted here, but can really improve the lives of these people. And I thought this was a really neat effort that they had. They partnered with UNICEF, and
which is like a worldwide health organization, mm-hmm, for people who don't know.
And anyway, they were giving out the vaccines, and a lot of us, you know, in this country, we think of tetanus associated with if you cut your hand on some rusty metal, mm-hmm, for example, and you probably have to get a tetanus booster because you had the shot when you were little, but you're not so likely to be exposed to it here. But this was a really great effort on their part, on the part of the church, to go in and to, you know, to get it to the point where they say they've eliminated this disease in that country is really an accomplishment.
That's awesome. You know, it'll be fascinating too. I've listened to a few podcasts recently talking about the explosion of growth in the church in Africa. And so look forward to really hearing just a ton more about what the church is doing in Africa, leaders to come out of Africa, temples to be announced in Africa. You remember not this last general conference, but the general conference before, when President Nelson read the name of one of the towns and everyone went, we don't know. That was in Africa. But it is truly becoming a worldwide church, and a large portion of that growth taking place in Africa. That's cool. And it's the country of Chad, correct?
Yes.
This story here in the United States, you know, we're now just, 8 months away from the divorce of the Boy Scouts of America and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the Boy Scouts has been in the news again recently. It's interesting to me, as I'm sort of a conspiracy theorist, or like a, you know, are we being told everything? As I understand it, the Boy Scouts of America had a file, whether that was a paper file like you'd get in a file cabinet or an online file or however they did it, I'm not sure, but which they essentially called the perversion file, and that there were people who had been reported of sexual misconduct in some way or another, sexual abuse, or, you know, situations that these student or that these scouts shouldn't have been in, and that in some cases that they didn't properly take care of or make it so that those leaders couldn't be around kids again. And obviously, it goes without saying, but to some who are like, why are we talking about this now? Several of those leaders were members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that they found in the file. And it's over, you know, 780 names of folks that were in this perversion file. And I don't know that I have the exact like year count. I know it's not just like in 2019. It's, you know, for a few decades of time. But I would be curious to know if the church, A, knew about it. And I would think that on some level, at least some members of the church had to knew about it. Or if this maybe is part of why there was the division. I know that President Nelson is really focusing on the Homesteader Church and really making that time that we spent currently doing Boy Scouts, you know, making it more religious and leadership and principles centered study. But it would be interesting to me if they were like, this is going to come out at some time. We would like to separate ourselves from that. And if that had any part of the decision. Thoughts? I know you're an Eagle Scout. Did you do Scouts, Robert?
I was not a very good scout myself, but my son is an Eagle Scout.
Let's see. Redemption. See what happened?
Yep.
His son redeemed him like your dad is doing for you. Well, with the mission.
There's got to be, he's got to get a double Eagle Scout then, because there's two of them. You got to have two Eagles. Right?
Oh, wait, you do? Wait, your dad?
No.
What?
No, Robert.
Oh, yeah. Robert's got to get, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, so his son has to get some palms or something in order to make it up for both him and his dad.
Right.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't catch where you were going with that. it's the whole subject, and there will always be, which doesn't make it at all right, but there, as people will be people, there will always be these cases of perversion. I think that the church is working really hard to try and eliminate these cases. And I think that they can continually do better things. We've talked about honor code stories in the last episode that we released. I think that there's some elements of, if not just abuse of power, there's some other things underlying in there. I think that in my heart of hearts, my hope of hopes, that the church is really trying to do a better job and taking care and protecting and eliminate these opportunities for any of these kind of things to happen.
Yeah. I've said this before, but I almost feel like I'm burying my head in the sand because it disgusts me and it really bums me out, I guess, for lack of a better term, because in my scouting experience, it was great and it helped me out. And my friends, it was great. So to hear this, it was out of my realm. I was, you know, unaware till I'm the age that I am and these stories start to come out, and they probably went on for a long time before they're out now. So
do you have any other news stories, Brother Kyle?
Yeah, I've got. So just a few weeks after he returns from his 9-day, 7-nation tour of the Pacific, which we still don't have the tour shirts for.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Church President Russell M. Nelson will head east for a devotional in Florida.
Are you going?
Yes, I am.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
How close is it to your home?
I live about an hour from Orlando.
Yeah, but you make the jaunt.
Oh, easily, yeah. But I don't know. There will be ticket distribution, and they're also going to broadcast it to local meeting houses all over Florida.
Talk about why that's a big deal.
Just to get to see the prophet in person.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate enough a couple of times in my life to come to General Conference, and it's really a neat experience to be in the same building and everything. And to feel that the prophet is coming out and he's coming to all these different areas of the world and showing that he cares and trying to take his ministry there. It just reinforces that they're trying to do some good works and trying to share the gospel with everybody, not just, you know, a few people in this one place, but everybody all over the world. And it's just a really great opportunity to, you know, hear from the prophet and other leaders that will be there.
What do you think it means to those that have never been to Salt Lake or that have ever had the experience of being to General Conference? Do you think it means more to them than that way?
You know, it's hard to say, but we had just back in February, it was, at our stake, we had Elder Renland and his wife come to our stake and do a special stake conference. Mm-hmm. Just no leadership changes or anything. They just came and spoke to us. And so many people came above our regular stake conference attendance. And it was just really great. Everybody wanted to be there to see, a special witness of Christ in person. Mm-hmm. Then after the meeting, the Renlands came down and shook hands with anybody who wanted to, and a lot of people stayed and got in that line. Even me, I kind of waited and watched for it to go down near the end, but a lot of people went through that line, and it was just, I don't know, it just, it gives you a good feeling, mm-hmm. and it was just really nice to know, you know, that these people care about the saints all over the world.
Yeah, I love that. Have you ever met an apostle, Brad?
I have. And here I am in Salt Lake City most of my life and have never met or seen them speak.
Ever?
In person, no.
None?
Nope.
Ever?
No. As you were talking about that and President Nelson being there, I thought about that and I thought, huh.
Now, come on. As a kid, you were never like at a sporting event where the prophet was and you went over and shook his hand?
No, because we never went to sporting events because that costs money.
Right.
You know, maybe my soccer games we would go to.
And they never came to your soccer games?
No.
Got it.
Because they didn't tour like they do now.
Yeah.
And never went to like Conference Live because we never had a car that could fit our whole family to bring him down.
But like you've never been in a place where the...
No.
Ever? Never an award like surprise?
Nope.
Interesting.
No, I did have one time, in fact, it was just a couple weeks ago, in our regular church meeting, that I look up and looking down at me is a guy from the stake presidency that comes to one of my spin classes. So that's about
that's about as highfalutin as that
yeah.
gets.
But I haven't. Yeah, I was just thinking about that as we were talking there. Maybe I should try and do something.
You're welcome to come to my ward with me. Elder Anderson, his sister is in my ward, and so he'll come. I think I've shared the story here in the cultural hall, but I was at the airport, and I don't remember what this was for, where I was coming back from, and I saw Elder Uchtdorf, and I saw he and his wife, and they were waiting by baggage claim. And he looked disheveled, and he looked worn out from flying. And this, in no sort of disrespectful way, made me so happy that I was just like, he's a guy who is called as a special witness of Christ, but at the end of the day, he's just a guy, right?
He's flying with the general public.
He's flying. He has the same frustrations that, you know, waiting for the baggage, knowing the right carousel.
Crying like, babies.
Yeah, all the things, yeah, on the plane, except... He gets a special buffer zone with the babies being around him. No, not really. But to the point that I went up to him at the end and I said, you know, I get my bag and I just said, hey, thanks. I didn't try and shake his hand. I didn't wait and get a picture because there was other people who had done that.
Yeah.
I just was like, just thanks and kind of walked out. But like I remember, I went one time to the opera or a musical or the symphony or something and the prophet was there And so my dad was like, go over and shake his hand. So I did that as a kid. I remember being at the Days of 47 rodeo. That's where I met President Monson because he was a huge fan of the rodeo. He would go to that stuff.
I've been to the rodeo. I've been to Days of 47. I did do that one time, but I didn't see the prophet there.
If you can help Brother Kyle meet a member of the 12 or the First Presidency, let us know. If it's your grandpa, if it's someone in your family, he'll just show up at your family reunion. No big deal. Who's the albino bald kid?
Yeah.
No worries.
Don't worry, he's not eating anything. Yeah,
he won't take anything. He'll just come in, meet the person, listen to them speak, you know, whatever it is. Nice to meet you. There, I heard him speak and then bail out. What other stories do you have, Brother Kyle?
I thought that we reported this story, but this is one that just popped up for me the other day about the rare corrected variant of the 1852 Liverpool Book of Mormon.
Okay.
It fetched, I think because it's from Liverpool, they say fetched.
Yeah.
It brought $41,600 at a recent auction. At the Fine Books and Collections website recently reported, the price is a record for any European Latter-day Saint publication. It came during a sale at New York's Swan Galleries.
Hmm. And you said how much again?
$41,600.
I tell you what, man. Some of those old artifacts and relics from the church. Have you guys ever seen an original Book of Mormon up close?
Not an original.
Yeah. One of like the first 5,000?
Yes.
Had the opportunity to see
under glass I did. Why did I see that? But yes.
I think there's one at the Church History Museum that's to the west of Temple Square if you ever come to Utah. And then there's a guy who... very painstakingly, carefully tours with the original Book of Mormon here in the state of Utah does firesides with it, and you have to put gloves on, or they put like a thing underneath it. You can hold it and see it. It's pretty cool. If for no other reason to think, well, whose hands was this in, when and where and how did that go, and what's the story behind this particular book?
Yeah. Interesting.
And I think some of those original ones are like 100,000, 150,000 people have paid for them, depending on condition.
So if anybody has access to a copy of one of those and would like to let us hold it without gloves on.
There might, you know what? I think there's actually one at the University of Utah, too, in the special collections. I'll find out about that.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I'm pretty sure there is.
There's got to be one down at BYU.
I would
down
think.
Where you work.
Check
around
my
library.
What is this in my desk? Guys. Who's playing a joke on me, guys? Do I have to give this back? Guys. You said you... do you have another story, Robert?
I do.
Let's do it.
Real quick. This is a story about another temple dedication. This is in Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And it seems to me a lot of times that, you know, we hear, oh, there's a temple open house here, a dedication there. It's happening all the time, all over the world. But this one struck me because when I lived in North Carolina, there was a family in our ward that were refugees from the Republic of the Congo, which is a different country. Hmm. And if you talk to people from there, they always remind you that they're from the Congo Brazzaville, which is different from the Congo Kinshasa. That's what the capital cities is, how they differentiate the two countries a lot. But it was great to have a temple in that country and to see how the church is growing. You mentioned earlier about how the church is just growing so significantly in Africa. And this was great, great news to see that the temples are going everywhere and are literally dotting the land.
Yeah. It's cool. It's a cool fulfillment of prophecy. Going on that that same vein of temples, you know, in 2017, the Oklahoma City Temple was closed for renovation. It's one of the newer ones that President Hinckley, I believe, announced it. It's only been around for, you know, 15, 16, 17 years. And they closed it and had to do some renovation. Some people speculate that there was some mold and some other things that they had to eliminate or alleviate. Other people that it needed to be expanded a little bit because members of the church there, for whatever reason, it's now open again for an open house for that community and people can be able to see in. It'll be dedicated here in the next little bit or rededicated. But yeah, all over, both foreign and domestic. It's a pretty awesome time to be a part of the church. What do you have? Do you have anything else?
That's all I've got.
What about you, Robert?
That's it for me.
I'm trying to see there. It seems like I had one more story that I wanted to hit, but I should just mention these couple things and then we can wrap it here. That's fine. If you have not yet listened to the Honor Code Stories episode of the Cultural Hall, check that out. It's about 45 minutes. We get kind of the history of that Instagram page. And I know if you probably have an immediate response when I say the Honor Code Stories. And one of those responses is yeah, those guys, yeah, stick it in, you know, to the mirror and all that stuff. Or you have this ginormous eye roll, which is like, don't go to BYU if you don't want to have an honor code. But I encourage you to listen to that episode in particular. And let me know what you think. contact@theculturalhall.com. I really tried to lay it out in a way that it's like, who are you? What are you trying to do? What do you feel? What do you not feel? You know, what's the win? What's the success for this organization? And if you do like it and you decide to email me, also consider leaving us a review wherever you get your shows available in podcast form. That helps us to be visible for those people who are searching out other shows and podcasts. I should say with that, if you want to take a little road trip with the Cultural Hall, we're taking the show on the road in September with the folks from Camora Tours, spelled like it sound, CUMORAHTOURS.org is where you can find more information about it.
Was that your big announcement a couple Mondays ago?
Yes. It's a huge deal.
Yes, it is.
We're doing the complete church history with this tour group. You can come, you can buy into it. Including the airfare, and I think that's including the airfare from Salt Lake, so it'll probably be different, like if you came up from Florida, Robert. It's $2,400, which covers the majority of your meals, all of your lodging, the bus that'll take you around, and then there will be other folks, not myself, that will be educating us on each of the church sites. But our plan is to do specific episodes within various places along this tour. For example, we're making contact with one of the, essentially the apostles from the Community of Christ, who is going to sit down and do an interview with us for the Cultural Hall. Wow. We're going to do an episode from the bell tower at the Kirtland Temple, which you're not supposed to be able to go into, but we have a connection. And so we're going to do a little short episode there and some other things too, kind of some fun stuff along the way. So if you want to be a part and witness those episodes, you can certainly check that out, camoratours.org. And you can, you don't have to pay for it all up front. You can do it in payment plans and all that stuff. And then other things like the Patreon page, like we mentioned, patreon.com/theculturalhall. And then, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you to follow us on all the social media channels at The Cultural Hall. If Pinterest is your jam, we're there. Twitter, Facebook, we do the Instagram, and we would love to have you join us on any of those media platforms. Is that it, you guys?
Yeah, I think that's it.
You ready, Robert? You're going to be a part of this. Do you have one in your mind?
I do.
Okay. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope if you're sick or afflicted, you'll be well and can listen next week.
And bless all the pathogenic bacteria out of this food.
I love it. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.